Hi everyone, welcome to my podcast, which is called My Rabbit Grace. I'm Cindy LeBlanc, and this is podcast number 6. And this podcast is going to be called Taking Your Rabbit Outdoors to Play. Just a quick introduction. The podcasts are a way of sharing my experiences with my pet house rabbits. I've had rabbits for over 12 years. Over that 12 years, I've had 2 rabbits, so I have collected some wisdom and experiences, and I hope to share those experiences in the effort to make it a little easier on other rabbit owners or people who are hoping to get rabbits at some point in their life as pets. So 12 years is a long time, and I've gone through a lot of different things, and I sometimes wish that I had some of this knowledge. As well, I encourage other people to write me or send a MP3 to me with a comment or their own experiences, and I might share those experiences as well. I hope to help others through this who currently have rabbits. I also hope to make life easier and happier for both the rabbit owners and also for the bunnies themselves by help educating and sharing my experiences. I also hope to create a community of rabbit lovers who will share with me, and through that sharing I could share with others. And I will give you my email address if you would like to send me comments. My email address is cleblanc@charter.net, and I'll spell that out for you. It's cleblanc@charter.net. And if you wanted to see the podcast website where it resides, where there's a few pictures and other opportunities to communicate with me, that location is at, if you put into your browser at the address line, it would say http://myrabbitgrace.podomatic.com, and Podomatic is spelled podomatic.com. As well, it's a great site where you can put up your own, you can learn how and put up your own podcasts for free and share them. You can even get them on iTunes for free. So with that, I will go into the podcast, but let me first say that you may be thinking, boy, it doesn't sound very polished the way she's doing this. Well, absolutely right. I am just an amateur, and I wanted to learn about podcasts, and I use this medium to do it. And I thought, well, what is my interest? My interests are rabbits and also trying to make life better for rabbits. So I thought, well, what the heck? Let me set up a podcast for rabbit owners, so I'm not a professional speaker, as you can all tell, but I do enjoy sharing this experience, and if you could bear with me on the terrible way that I come across, then I'm thankful for that. So with that, we'll get into the podcast. Now, you may hear a little bit of ruffling of papers. I'm not going to read this stuff out for you, what I've put down as my notes, but I just have some bullet points, and every now and then I have to redirect my mind if I go off on tangents or lose my train of thought. I can go back to these bullets. So the rustling that you might hear is Cindy clearing her mind. So let me tell you that rabbits love to go outside. But as you know, you just can't let them go outside with you, because as much as they might love you, it's just a great opportunity for them to hop away quickly and have you chasing them and possibly never catching them again. In the process, they might get spooked, run into the forest, run into the street, who knows what. But there is a way that you can bring your rabbit outside. Rabbits love to go outside. It's just amazing to see them in a protected type environment outside, and yet to see them just really basking in the nice breezes, of being outside, being with you outside, and just having a little bit more mobility that they can kind of hop around and clean themselves, preen themselves, enjoy the sun, listen to the sound of birds and trees and all kinds of wonderful noises. And it also is a great way to get them out of the cage for a while. So what I did is you have to put them in a protected type environment, both that they don't run away and also that other animals can't get them. Because as you know, there's maybe neighborhood dogs or cats, maybe even your own, that are either maybe not mean, but they're very curious about them, and to see something hopping around or running around, it might perk their interest to go chase after it, and God knows what when they do finally catch it. At the very least, they'll scare the jiminies out of the rabbit, and at the worst, they could grab it and kill it. So, kill her or him or it, whatever verb you want to use or adjective you want to use for. As you can see, my English isn't that great either, so I'll leave that one where it sits. Okay, so what I do. Well, I thought I sit outside in my front yard a lot and have, a glass of soda, water, whatever, wine, and sit and bask in the sun. And I thought, boy, wouldn't it be nice if I could bring Gracie out here? Well, I thought, well, what am I going to do for that? Do I bring her cage out here? I mean, that's better than nothing, but it doesn't seem like it's that enjoyable either to do that. Besides that, if you've listened to my other podcasts, I have a pretty big cage, so it would take an enormous amount of effort to get that cage outside. But even if I did put her in a smaller cage, I don't know if she would, really care for being in a cage outside, because that's kind of confined as well. So I thought, well, I have this little deck outside in the back side of my house, which I use, and, well, it's not a big deck. It's probably about, oh, maybe I would say 12 foot by 12 foot. And I thought, well, it does have the railing around it, but the railing has gaps between it, as most railing on decks do. And I thought, I don't think that she would go under it or through it, but she could, because she's a very curious rabbit, and who knows, maybe, she won't notice that it is about a 12 foot drop to the ground, and she might go through it. And next thing I know, I have my rabbit off the deck. So I thought, I have to make it safe for her. So I decided, well, let's see, maybe if I put netting around it. Well, I thought netting might not be good, because she likes to chew things, and rabbits tend to chew. So I thought, I don't think that that would work too good either. So then I thought, well, let me go down to the feed store, which is around here, and they have stuff from rabbit food to hay to plants for outside. Well, I went there and I thought, let me see what kind of fencing they have that would be easy for just this girl to do it herself. So I went there and they had rolled up this fencing stuff, and it was like, it looked like squares. It had like squares in it. Like, probably the squares are about, the opening on the little squares are about, I would say, maybe 4 to 5 inches by 4 to 5 inches. I have a big rabbit, so she's not going to get through that. Dwarf bunny, you might want to do it with a little bit smaller of squares. But, anyways, this fencing, it's looks like it's been dipped in like green paint, so that it doesn't, like, you never have to worry about it rusting. Plus, it's kind of a little bit smoother than metal. It's about, I measured it and it was about 28 inches high. So I bought, what I first did is I measured all the way around my deck, measuring, each side, and then added it all together, and now I knew how many feet I needed. Of course, one side is the side with the house on it, so I didn't have to worry about that side. So I measured the three sides of it, and I got a little extra added in, about 5 or 6 feet extra, just in case I made a mistake or there was something unplanned. So, anyways, I ended up buying this a roll of this boxy type fencing, and brought it home, and I said, okay, I'm gonna put this up. So I went outside and onto the deck, and I thought, well, I think I could probably do this with a staple gun. I will start at one side at the first corner and just kind of unroll it as I go. It's a little difficult, let me tell you, as you're unrolling it. It tends to like to pull back on the roll, but there's ways of propping it up with rocks or having someone help you keep it open while you're securing one end. So I had the staple gun with me. Well, as I started it, it was a heavy-duty staple gun. It just wasn't working out very well. Sometimes the staples would go in good, and sometimes they'd go in halfway, and it was really just a hassle. And it was a lot of work, and I was sweating my butt off. It was hot outside, and the staples weren't very good. And then I was also concerned that, if they're partially in and partially out, what if the rabbit gets a hold of one of those staples, swallows it? It just was not turning into a pretty picture. So I thought, okay, the staple gun isn't working very well. So what's my next option? So I went to the hardware store down the street, and I said to him, geez, I'm trying to hang up some fencing, and no, it's not heavy duty fencing, but it's enough that the staple gun isn't working. And I need something like that. I don't really want to do nails because then I gotta bend them, and it sounds like, a lot of work, because obviously each section that I secure is going to require more than one nail, and I didn't really feel like, going through. You could bend nails. But he said, well, I have something for you. It's a nail that looks like a staple. And so he shows me this thing. It has a point on both sides. It's kind of U-shaped. And it was probably about, oh, slightly less than an inch long. And you just get your hammer and you just nail it in as if it was a staple. And I thought, well, it seems a little like much, but what the heck? The staple gun isn't working. Let me do that. So I went ahead and got that. Got several of them, probably, oh, I would say a little bag of them, probably a 100 just in case I needed a bunch. And I brought them home and I got out the hammer and started putting up this fencing around the deck. And I'll tell you what, it was a godsend because it worked like a charm. It was secure. On each section that I would secure, I'd put maybe three, one at the bottom, one in the middle, and one at the top to secure the fence. And then I would unroll it and go about, oh, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 feet, and did another secure section, and so forth, all the way around the deck. Now, on my deck, I don't have too many obstacles, and I'd removed everything from around the edges so it would be easy to move around. I did have one opening, which is the stairwell, so I had to cut off the netting at that point, and I had a heck of a time securing it there. I did it, but it required more fasteners because when you cut the fencing with the wire cutters, and use wire cutters, scissors don't work. When you cut them with the wire cutters, there's a lot of sharp edges, and I didn't want those sharp edges to stick out in any way and possibly poke the rabbit in the eye, because they're not brain surgeons. They're great little beasts, and they're cute and wise in their own little way, but they may not see a piece of wire sticking out. So it was up to me to make sure that all the ends were flat and secure and pounded in real well. So that's something you might want to consider as well. So anyways, I did that. I got it all secure, still sweating my butt off the whole time, but anticipating all the wonderful joy that it was going to bring to my rabbit, and also some fun for me to see it out there on the deck with me, as I'm reading a book or whatever, just the joy of that. So anyways, I also had one other obstacle. I had an obstacle where I have a barbecue on my deck, one of those big Webers that is, runs by gas with the line going in. And I thought, oh boy, I got a little hose here with the gas, but thank God it's a metal hose, so it's not, something that the rabbit would probably chew at. It is flexible, but So anyways, I bent that up as high as it would go, just not to tempt the rabbit to like mess with it. And I also had to cut the wire there and do the same thing because, you know, you can't go over a pipe. You have to kind of cut it, you know, fasten it, and then start up the wiring on the other side and finish your way around. So anyways, I did that. Now, the only gap that I had at this point was the stairs on the deck going down. And I thought, well, I obviously can't put wire over that because we still need to be able to use that to go up and down the stairs. And as well, even if we didn't use it for that, ours, we don't go up and down that much, but still, as a safety thing, fire, whatever, I need to keep that clear. So I thought, well, what could I do with the sort of doorway or passageway to with the stairs? I went ahead and I got a accordion door, one of those ones that you get like a baby gate, and I put up this baby gate, and it just l latches on. You know, you have to screw it in, and it has a little clasp or whatever on one side. Well, that I used for the doorway. Now, mind you, when I first did this, I'm telling you as if I just did it, but it's actually been a few years. Since then, I've replaced that accordion door because it was wood. It actually lasted about maybe, I don't even know if it was 2 years, but it for sure lasted one complete year. And then, of course, I live where there's snow and everything, so it started to just fall apart. And I replaced it with one of those baby gate. It's not really a gate, but it is like a doorway protector, where it's kind of it's plastic in the middle with you know, to block it, kind of like slats and stuff. But it has a spring on the top and the bottom, like that you just push it into the wall and you can kind of make adjustments. That one works even better than the accordion door. So that's, you know, that's about the same height as about 30 inches tall or whatever. And I can just pop that in and out at will. And that works very good for the doorways. So there you have a couple of choices, an accordion door or a pop-off door. Of course, the pop-off door, you might want to take it down if it rains because probably it will last several years if you take it down when it rains so it doesn't get rusty. But you could leave it probably up there and it would last for quite some time either way. So there are some choices. Now, let me also tell you that when I put up the fencing around, you know, the wire fencing, the green wire fencing that I was telling you about that's 28 inches tall, I actually put it up and left about between 1 and 2 inches between the fencing, the wire fencing, and the bottom of the deck. And the reason I did that is because I thought, well, geez, if I ever want to sweep this deck, it's going to be kind of a hassle, you know, to have that's going to catch everything, having that fencing there. So I put it up about 1 to 2 inches so that I could just sweep, and then when I swept stuff, swept the deck off, it the crumbs and everything would just, you know, still be able to, you know, to get out basically, and I wouldn't have to, you know, sweep everything over to the stairs or whatever. I could just, you know, sweep and have that little extra bit of leeway so that you know, everything wouldn't just all stay on the deck, especially, you know, leaves falling on the deck and then the wind blowing, you have a big thing with leaves all over the place. So anyways, that's what I did, and that's what I would recommend that you do. Now, the 1 to 2 inches that you leave as a gap, my rabbit is too big. She can't get underneath that. But if you have a teeny tiny rabbit, you know, definitely don't go over the 2 inches because you don't want them to, you know, go underneath this fencing and, you know, drop off the deck or whatever. So that's something to keep in mind too. So that's very handy, is leaving that gap for sweeping and whatnot. And besides that, you know, you don't want to put up this fencing and then find out you got to take it down and redo it because, you know, I'm proud of myself for doing it, but I don't want to do it again, you know, if I don't have to. So, Let's see, what else have we got to say about this? Okay, now once the fencing is up, when you bring out your rabbit, one of the things you might want to keep in mind when they first come out, first of all, I'll say that they're a little leery about the whole thing. Mine, she's been out many times, but I put her out, and normally she'll skittle, skediddle, daddle away, you know, like she's real happy to be out. But this time she kind of like goes, "Oh boy, where am I?" You know, because she hears birds, she hears squirrels, she hears all kinds of stuff out there, and sun and wind and breezes, and she's kind of like a little bit scared at the beginning. So that's something you might want to keep in mind, is stay with them. Well, you have to stay with them the whole time anyways, and I'll get some reasons for that later, but that's the easy part. One of the things you want to do once your rabbit is out there is watch the chairs and the tables that are on your deck or that area that you set up for your rabbit to be. If, say, you have a table that's kind of high or even halfway high, and it's right near the side of the deck, the rabbit might jump on the table if it's, you know, not too high, and it from the table might hop to the top of the railing or above the fencing and go straight down and fall to the ground, and that's not a good thing. The same might apply to certain chairs if you have chairs. So you could still have chairs out on your deck, just, you know, make them, you know, at least a foot or so away from the sides of the deck, so that if the rabbit does jump up on the chair or the table, that it's not an issue that they're going to reach across or do a little jump over to the side of the deck. Now, you know, I do have my chairs out there, and I don't have to worry. My rabbit is not like a flying squirrel. She's not the type that would go onto something and take a flying leap, you know, 4 feet. She just won't do that. But if she could reach the deck, I wouldn't trust her that she might go on there. But as far as, like, say I have a barbecue and that's right up on the edge, well, the nearest surface that she could even possibly get onto, you know, where, you know, like the little tray things, that's probably about, I'd say, 3.5 feet high, and there's no way that she can jump that high, not my rabbit. So that's not an issue for me, but some of my chairs I kind of keep an eye on and make sure that they're not too close to the edge. Most of the time, except for if I go into the house for a brief second, I'm out there anyways. But you know, even if you're out there, you just want to minimize like the distractions, because obviously if you're going to be sitting outside with your rabbit on a nice chaise lounge or whatever, you don't want to have it distracting you from your reading and you know, generally making a nuisance of itself. You want to make it a safe place and also a place where you can enjoy yourself as well and not be constantly on your guard. Okay, so that's something to keep in mind. Another important thing is have places set up for the rabbit to get some shade and or cover. For example, well, obviously if I bring my rabbit out on the deck, if I was sitting out in the sun the whole time, I might really bake, and especially I might bake if I have a fur coat on like a rabbit does. And you know, rabbits don't have sweat glands, so they can't sweat to cooler bodies. They might start panting. Now, if a rabbit starts panting, he is either in a lot of distress, nervous-wise, and or very, very hot, and that's not a good sign. That's when you need to cool down your rabbit. But one of the ways to avoid those kind of problems from even coming up is always provide a shady spot for your rabbit. So if you bring it outside, make sure it's got some kind of shelter or a little table or something that it can go under. Coffee table kind of thing. I have a long kind of coffee table that she likes to hang out under. She also likes to hang out underneath the barbecue. And like I said, mine is not the kind that has ashes. It's a gas kind. So she just kind of hangs out underneath that. Another reason why having cover is good besides shade is that there might be predators outside besides dogs and cats. And I mean in the form of vultures, in the form of owls or hawks. And in fact, you might think that this sounds far-fetched, but I couldn't believe my ears when I was talking to a girl who had a pet rabbit. Oh, this was several years back. And she said that she lived in an apartment that had a rooftop kind of situation where people could go and have a chaise lounge and sit out there. So she thought she'd bring a rabbit. Well, because the edges of the roof were up high enough that she didn't have to worry that the rabbit would, what do you call it, jump off or fall off or whatever. Well, while she was out there, she had a big open roof kind of thing, certainly much bigger than my deck. But in any case, there's this roof. All of a sudden, she sees this bird swoop down, and that bird took the rabbit and flew off. And I'm telling you, she was shocked and, distraught and everything else. There's nothing she could do about it. And I never really would have thought that myself, that that could happen. And especially if you knew the size of Gracie, my rabbit, I'm thinking could never happen with mine. She's about, she's between 10 and probably 12 pounds, 13 pounds right now, because she's a big lop-eared rabbit. Well, I'm not taking any chances after I heard that story. And we do have hawks where I live. Granted, I have trees around my house, but that doesn't mean that they might see a beautiful meal sitting down there. So that's another reason why it's good to have cover for them, someplace that they can hang out. And rabbits don't really feel all that confident out in the open anyways. So it's better to have something for them, even if it's a little rabbit house or a table that they can go under. They like to go in the corners. So that's something to keep in mind. Always provide some kind of cover for them to just feel more secure, and as well, maybe a little shade. They also, some of them like the sunshine, but most of the time mine hangs out. While she'll hop in the sunshine, she mostly tends to find a spot, like say behind the barbecue, that's semi-shaded, and it's also a place for her to kind of feel safe. So that's one thing that you want to do. You want to do that whether you're in the house or I mean whether you're outside with the rabbit or just walked in the house for a second. You always want to have cover for them. And speaking of being careful with them, of course, when you go out with your rabbit, there are times, as we know, when nature calls, whatever, or the telephone rings and we need to go in the house. It's always good if you can, you could take a chance and go in real quick, but the better option would be to ask somebody else who might be in the household if they could, go outside and keep an eye on the rabbit just for a few minutes. I happen to have a very docile dog, a big dog, and I'll put her out on the deck with the rabbit if I have to go in the house just for a couple of minutes and, get something or do something without going into detail. But in any case, I tell her she has to babysit, and I figure that at least it's better than nothing as far as a hawk might think twice about this 75-pound dog being out there. And again, my dog is so docile, I trust her implicitly with the rabbit. If I felt for any second that she might, get jealous of it or get frisky or whatever, I wouldn't put her out there. So it's something you want to keep in mind as well. I don't think a cat would be as good of a babysitter as a dog because they're not, I don't know that they would scare a hawk away. And in fact, they might be bait for the hawk themselves. And besides that, I know Gracie scares the Jiminies out of my cat, so she wouldn't do it even if I asked her. Not that you can ask a cat to do anything. I love him to death, but nope, not my cat. She can't be told what to do. She tells me what to do. So anyways, what else? Oh, always provide a bowl of water for the rabbit while it's out there. Now, if you've heard from my past podcast about feeding your rabbits, some rabbits like water out of a bowl and some can't stand it. So, if yours is one of the ones that like water out of a bowl, then provide it. And if it isn't, then just don't put your rabbit out there for the entire day without any water. Put it take it out maybe up to a couple hours and then put it in its cage where it has its water bottle if it won't drink from a bowl. And some of them just can't figure it out. It's not even a matter of being obstinate or whatever. It's just they, you know, obviously are not quite running on the same brain power as a human, and they may never figure it out. But mine happens to like water from the bowl, so I always provide water out there. She doesn't drink a whole lot outside. I think that her senses are so stimulated that she doesn't do it, but I never let her out there for more than, you know, 2 or 3 hours with me anyways, because I don't really like being outside, you know, for an entire day myself without going into the house. So I'll usually bring her out for a couple hours with me. I also bring out her litter box with the lid. I use a litter box that is, when she's out of the cage, it's like a it's like a cat litter box. And in it I have pine chips, or sometimes I use the compressed hay pellets. But that, I make sure it's clean before I go out there, because I don't want to draw any flies or bugs, vermin, that would get on her or me. So I make sure it's clean to start off with, and I put that out there, and she uses that to go to the bathroom and also to dig around and have some fun sometimes. Optionally, I put out sometimes some Timothy hay. It's just a small bundle. Mine might nibble on it, but she's, like I said, mostly she's so stimulated with everything that's going on that she doesn't bother with food, and it's not that much time out there anyways. It's only 2 or 3 hours. Sometimes even as low as an hour, you know, an hour's better than nothing. But in any case, you could put a little Timothy hay if they like to chew. That way they'll have something to do, and of course other toys such as you know, paper towel rolls that are empty paper towel rolls or toilet paper rolls. They also love old boxes where you've cut, you know, like an entrance and an exit, and they use it kind of like a little house and to chew on it. That's another good toy that they love, and that I would highly recommend. Save boxes and let them have those. You can, they last quite a while before you have to throw them out, before they're chewed up too bad. Let's see. Well, I've already covered that they like to go in corners and under things, so you want to have some things like that that they can do, but also make sure the things that they can go under are things that you can easily move, because when you do want to bring them back in the house, you don't want to have them be underneath something that, you know, is going to be a pain to, you know, get them out of, or moving it, you might injure them or whatever. So, you know, make sure there's places for them to go, but that you could still have some control over it. My rabbit, when she goes outside with me, she'll, you know, go between hopping around, just sitting up and looking at me, playing in her box to sometimes she'll stretch out and lay down and rest, and sometimes she'll jump up on little chairs and stuff, and she loves that. She just basically hops around and has a wonderful, wonderful time. Another thing you want to keep in mind when you go get ready to go outside, get them all set up out there, like bring out their litter box, your rabbit's litter box, and food and water and all that, and get all the tables and chairs situated the way you want it, and make sure the gate is up and secure. You know, and you'll also want to set up your own chairs and get your magazines and books that you want. If you're going to be, like I sometimes play on my laptop out there, I'll plug that in. A word of advice, make sure your cords don't sit on the ground. Have them up high, like I'll sit with my laptop near the outlet, but I'll put the plug up and on a table, you know, so that she doesn't even notice it. Because rabbits love cords, and, you know, it's, although I'm out there with her, I don't want to have to constantly be watching her to make sure she's not going to chew my cord in half. As we all know, those cords, not only can they kill the rabbit or shock it and injure it, even in the best case scenario where that didn't happen, they're very expensive to replace. As you all know, it's over $100 for that. So just be safe, and also it saves you aggravation of trying to keep them away from it. So keep it up high. Or if you have a boombox or something where you're listening to some nice music, You'll want to have the cord up above where they don't even notice it or see it. Hang it, put it on the table. So, that's something to keep in mind. And of course, if you're listening to music, I'm sure they don't want it at decibel levels. They might get a little bit nervous, but they're fine with normal music and that sort of thing. As long as probably they're just as good with it as the decibel levels that your neighbor can take. So, not too much to worry about there. As you know, rabbits have big ears. That's why I'm just emphasizing that. I'm sure that they probably hear a lot better than we do. So you'll be all set up, and then at the last step, you bring your rabbit down, or to your deck or whatever play area that you have set up. Now, for some people, they don't feel maybe as confident. Mine, I have to bring my rabbit from downstairs, across the house, and then out to the deck. And she's okay because I pick her up and I, really hold her securely. But I have to go down some stairs, and if I'm not real careful there, she could get a little nervous. Another way to get your rabbit out is using a small cage or a pet carrier, which is what I use, a cat pet carrier. When I initially started bringing her out, I started doing it like that instead of carrying her, because I wasn't sure what might happen halfway down the stairs if she might jump out of my arms. So I used a pet carrier. I just put her right in the pet carrier. She went right in, and then I would take her, down in the pet carrier and then open it up on the deck. And I would sometimes she would stay in the pet carrier like a little bit nervous, and I just sit out there, and she'd eventually come out. If she never if wouldn't come out, I would probably would kind of tip it forward a little bit and encourage her to come out. But that's one way, a safe way of bringing them to the location that you want to let them out to, is using a cage, a small cage, or pet carrier. It's always good to have a pet carrier on hand anyways, because God knows if we had an emergency at some point, like they did with Hurricane Katrina. You always want to have at least a pet carrier for every pet in your house, because if you had to evacuate, a lot of these places, they may take you with your pet, but they most of the time require that you have them in a carrier, a pet carrier. So I keep one even for my big dog, but I also keep one of those suitcase rollers, where you can strap your suitcase onto these rollers. And I do that. I keep one of those on hand too, in case, God forbid, obviously I couldn't pick up this massive pet carrier myself with my dog in it. So I have a way of, kind of putting it on there and being able to be mobile with, one of those stretch cords that would secure it to it. So anyways, that's just a side note. I'm going off on the tangent there. So you want to make sure you're out there with your rabbit, it's for safety reasons, for predators and whatnot, and also just to give it a sense of confidence. And you'll find that your rabbit will just love being out there with you. It's a great bonding time. Okay, let's see. When you're ready to put the rabbit back into its cage in the house, you'll want to have a little bit of patience, because initially they're having so much fun they don't really want to go back in the house. So mine kind of makes me not chase her, but she kind of hops around and I have to kind of walk behind her, and eventually I get her and scoop her up. And from there you can just carry her to a cage or put her in her pet carrier. And but just know that it might take 5 minutes to do it. But with your own confidence and not panicking, you'll, like I said, my deck is only 12 by 12, so there's not a whole lot of places she's going to be able to go. She might go behind the barbecue, sit there for a little while, and eventually she'll, when she thinks the heat is off, she'll come out. And, I could really get her if I really wanted to, but I kind of just let her have her space, and then when she comes out, I'll go around and get her. Sometimes I might, lean her something, like a piece of furniture around the deck, so that when she encounters it, she can't go any further, and that's when I can scoop her up as well. So just don't panic, because if you panic, it'll freak the rabbit out too, and you might have a harder time getting them in. I can tell you now that I have no trouble getting her in and out, nor did I have any trouble with my last rabbit. So, you'll become more confident with it. And if it's a small enough play area, it's not like you're chasing them down the block or anything. So, don't worry too much about that. But, always have a backup plan, someone to help you, because you don't want to get them outside and then find that you can't get them back in the house and night is coming and you don't know what to do. So, be patient, have confidence, and take it one slow step at a time. And have your cage, your pet carrier out there. Whatever you need, have it close by and open and ready, so that when your hands are around the rabbit and you've got it, you don't have to like start unclasping doors and grabbing things out and opening up screen doors and whatever. Everything's all ready to go. It's anticipating all that kind of thing. And let's see, what have we here? So, an alternate way, if you didn't want to do something on your deck like I did, which is put up what do you call it, boxy type fencing, they also have these small pet play pins. And I saw one which looks really wonderful on a website. It's called a Marshall Small Pet Deluxe Play Pin. It's really easy to set up and it's really easy to take it down. It kind of folds open and closed, and it even, I think it has a carrying case if I'm not mistaken, but don't quote me on that one. I think it does. But in any case, it is very easy to put up and take down. And what it looks kind of like, when it's set up, a round area with, it looks like it's about the same height, I would say about 28 inches tall, thereabouts. And it is like a cage side siding, and it's like sort of a circle, maybe 4 or 5 feet circle for the inside. And in that, you would just put your rabbit in there, and you could put toys in there, and of course a shelter, like a little box with openings on both sides. Or they also have things like what they call a super pet giant igloo, where they can go under and they can have a little bit of a shelter there as well. You could even put a little chair in there, like one of those plastic outdoor chairs that it could sit under or whatever. So this Marshall Small Pet Deluxe Playpen, I saw that it was at a website. Now, I'm not promoting any buying, or nobody's paying me to say this, but I'll just give you a hint of one of the places you can get it if you want, or at least look at it. There's a website called rabbitcentral.com. So that's www rabbitcentral, RABBITCENTRAL.com. And this Marshall Small Pet Deluxe Playpen, they have it on sale for $50.58. You could probably just go on there and do a search for playpen, rabbit playpen, or small pet playpen. But in case you wanted to be more precise, the item number for it is MR, like Mary Randy, dash 00305. And it looks like a wonderful place that you don't have to do any work at all, as long as you got a little bit of room in your garage or someplace to store this thing when you're not using it. And it looks like it's safe, and the picture showed a little girl in there with well, not too little of a girl, but a girl in there with her rabbit. So again, if you do something like that, I would put in the litter box with it. And because it's a little bit smaller than, say, a deck kind of situation, what I would do is I would put one of those corner super pet litter boxes in there. They're kind of corner shaped, and for me, because my rabbit likes to move things around and upset things, I would drill a hole in the back side of it and put one of those hooks in it, like the shower curtain rod hooks that you get at the hardware store. They're kind of shaped like a light bulb, but they're like a safety pin but without a point, and they just clip right on. You could clip the corner litter box to the side of this playpen, and that way your rabbit could use it, but you wouldn't have to worry about it upsetting it. For myself, I do that in my rabbit cage. I use one of those corner pans, but I put two holes in it and two of those shower clips, so that it's a little more secure. But I'm thinking maybe one hole and one shower thing might work as well. You'd have to test that out, but that's an idea for that. And again, make sure they have some shelter and some shade in there, a small amount, or set it up in a place where it's shady, but not too cold, obviously. And you'll want to put some timothy hay, dried timothy hay in there, or as well, maybe a little bowl of water. On that, you could probably even hang a water bottle, is my guess. So that's an idea, and it's only $50. And you could get, like I said, the Super Pet Giant Igloo for $5. They've got some really great deals on that website, so check it out. Another way that you could get your rabbit outside is by putting what they call a comfort harness on it. Super Pet makes a large comfort harness, they call it. Super Pet is the maker, but it's still on the same website, which is rabbitcentral.com. And I noticed that it's only $4.94. The item number on it is SP, as in Sam Pat, dash 62294. And it looks pretty good. It says it comes with a stretchy stroller, like I guess a leash with it as well. And I've tried a different kind of harness, not this kind, and it was kind of a hassle because after, first it was hard getting it on her. And second of all, even though I thought it was secure on her, by the time I got her outside, she had half of it off her, and I really had to scramble to make sure she didn't get completely out of it and then run away from me. So, but this one looks like it's better, this Super Pet large comfort harness. It looks like it's harder to get out of. You'll just want to make sure that it's on there, not too tight, but secure enough. Another thing, like when my rabbit in my situation, different harness where it got halfway out of it, thank God I had the foresight that I brought the pet carrier out with me when I, like it had it right next to me, because when she started to get out of the harness, I managed to scoop her up and quickly put her into the pet carrier. So I had that emergency backup plan right there. You might want to do that as well the first time you have your walk your rabbit on a harness. You might want to have, your pet carrier nearby or somebody to help you in case somehow they wiggle out of it. I guess you could also try the harness out in, your home too, by maybe just going into a room that doesn't have a lot of cords or whatever, or places that it could get under beds. But you could maybe take it into the kitchen and bring your rabbit with the harness on it and the leash, and just practice a little bit in your kitchen to see what it would be like. And again, have a backup plan, someone to help you in case it did, you didn't have it secured right in the harness and it managed to get loose. So that's another option. I'm thinking actually of buying one of these comfort harnesses because I think it would be kind of fun to kind of walk her around, outside. Of course, you have to watch that your lawn isn't sprayed with chemicals and poisons and whatnot. But that, setting that aside, that's not an issue. It seems like it might be kind of fun to do that. Although the deck is really a great situation because she really is, she's trouble-free out there. I can read my book and I know everything's safe and secure, and she has a wonderful time, and I'm not bothered by anything either or distracted. One of the things you might want to keep in mind as well is if you have children with your rabbit, when I don't have small children, but I have a little niece that comes over every now and then, and she came over the other day with her friend. She's about 6 years old, both of them. Now, one of the children has pets and feels very secure. And of course, the two of the girls wanted to come and pet the rabbit. And Gracie's very, she's never bit anybody and she's reasonably docile. She gets her goat up a little bit, but she's usually docile. Well, the one child, the one that was confident, it was no problem. She petted Gracie and Gracie enjoyed it, and I showed her how to pet it properly. Of course, they wanted to pet it against the fur, and I showed them that going with the fur is much more relaxing to the rabbits, so they did that. But the other child, my niece, she had a little bit more trouble because she doesn't have pets. So she was, although she really wanted to pet her and was petting her, she was jumpy in the way that she was petting her. Like if the rabbit made a slight move, she would kind of like jump back, but then pet it again. And the whole thing really was freaking out the rabbit. And as well, as the kids were really excited petting her, they started getting a little more rambunctious and moving faster. And it started to just, the whole thing started to freak out the rabbit. And she would run behind the barbecue and they would chase after her. And I had to say to them to just kind of slow down. And then after about 5 minutes of this, Gracie started making her sounds like she just had enough of it. And I thought, well, before any catastrophe happens and someone gets nipped, I'm going to, put a stop to it. So I told them, well, that's enough. The rabbit needs to, have her quiet time too. So, maybe later you can come by and say hello again. But it's just something to keep in mind that children are very excitable and they are jumpy and they don't mean it. They really mean well, as we all know, but it startles the rabbit. And if you get a rabbit too startled for too long, you could end up with a rabbit that is very nervous, could have get sick. And as well, it's just not, rabbits are not calm animals. Their instinct is that if something moves fast, it's danger to them. So that's something to keep in mind. I know that sometimes parents will buy a rabbit for a child thinking that it's just so sweet and all that, and some kids do great with them, and then but a lot of kids, they're really excited about having the rabbit and they move too fast, and it's a rabbit is not a substitute for a dog. A dog is really wonderful for most children, not all children. Some believe it or not, I've seen some kids do bad things to dogs, but as far as play level and stuff, a dog can give a child a lot more than a rabbit ever could, and expecting a rabbit to provide that same kind of interaction, it's just not going to happen, and it's going to end up disappointing the parents and the child and really freaking out the rabbit and making you wonder why maybe you got a rabbit, that it's not so easy after all. So that's something to keep in mind. A rabbit is not, as we know, we all know, it's not a plaything. It's very sweet and all that, but some kids can be, not too good for rabbits, and the rabbit might not be so good for the kid either. And anyway, so enough of that soapbox stuff. Just probably at this point, if you're hearing that and it's happening, it's probably a little late to be hearing that. So, oh well, there we are. So, anyways. And then there's some kids that are very gentle and confident and responsible with them. So, certainly we don't want to penalize them because, some of them have shown that they're just wonderful pet owners and caretakers. So it doesn't go across the board that we have to watch out for every single child, but just most of them. Just to recap, you want to watch, extreme temperatures when your rabbit is out. If it's too hot outside or too humid or it's too cold and windy, of course, you don't want to bring your rabbit outside. Or if it's raining, don't want to do that. Don't want to make them sick in any way or overheat them, give them a heat stroke or anything. You kind of base it on if it's okay for you, then for the most part, unless you're a complete sun worshiper that lays in the sun and oil under the sun for hours, that's probably not good to do for the rabbit. But for normal people that just go out in the sun and so forth, whatever's good for you is probably okay for the rabbit as well. just want to always provide some shade for them, even if you might not want shade yourself. Have some at least of accessible for them. And so base things on how it feels for you, for the most part. And if there's a lot of mosquitoes out, it might not be the best, most comfortable place for your rabbit to be eaten alive by mosquitoes. So that's something to keep in mind. And if you set up a play area, say with this portable unit, and it's on the grass, and you know that you have a lot of fleas and stuff like that in your grass, you might not want to put the rabbit in that situation either. And as well, if you use this portable device, they also have these pans that you can buy to go with it, and that's a good option to have instead of just putting it on maybe the hot, heated up pavement, like some people in their driveways. It's black pavement and it draws the sun. Well, obviously, we don't want to put our rabbits in there and burn their paws if they're in one of those portable playpens. So that's something to keep in mind. Bugs in grass, mosquitoes, fleas, or hot pavement. But if you take some of these considerations, it sounds complicated, but it's really not the things that I'm saying. It really is a delightful experience to bring your rabbit outside. It's delightful for you, and it's absolutely wonderful and joyful for the rabbit. So I'm just giving you the tips, and I've learned these over the last few years of bringing my rabbit out. I wasn't always the type of person that did that. The first few years, I didn't realize it was something I could do, but so I'm just telling you now that it's something that you can do if you choose to. So assuming that your choices are wise and that you're practicing safety and comfort, it's a great experience, and it's also a great excuse for us humans to enjoy the outdoors. A great excuse to go outside with a good book or to listen to some nice music or nice podcasts, or just sit outside and the sunshine or the shade, relax in peace and silence. So, that said, I'm going to close this podcast and say, please send me your comments, your tips that I could share. And if you would like me to share a tip, just let me know that it's okay to share that. And I will include you on a future podcast. And again, this podcast is called My Rabbit Grace, and you can reach my podcast site if you like. If you're getting me through iTunes, you can also go to the site at http://myrabbitgrace.podomatic.com. And my email address for comments is cleblanc@charter.net. It's CLABLANC at charter.net. And thank you so much for listening, and I hope you have a wonderful week. And I will be setting up yet another podcast in the next probably two and a half weeks. That's about as often as I can do them. So good luck to you, and thank you again.